بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Today we covered the 22nd juz, which includes Surah Ahzab, Surah Saba, Surah Fatir, and just the initial portions of Surah Yasin. So firstly, Surah Ahzab, we covered the last portion of it. It discusses the commandments of hijab, rules about social interactions between men and women, covering with the veil for women is specifically mentioned within Surah Ahzab. So we can't discuss all of the rulings and those aspects, that'll take too much time. So one ayah I wanted to point out is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one of these ayahs, He informs us that there are two things we should do in this world abundantly so that He can send His blessings upon us, and that His angels can seek forgiveness for us as well. And through that, Allah Ta'ala can bring us towards the light of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and out of the darkness. Now, as mentioned before, I'll get to what those things are soon. As mentioned before, the masajid were the hosts of the light of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in this world, as mentioned in Surah Nur. And in this pandemic, those hosts have been closed off. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us another method to remove the darkness and bring that light into our lives. Now, what are those things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do? They're two very simple things. Number one, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Make as much dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you can make. There's a hadith in Jami' Imam al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ الذِّكْرِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That the best form of dhikr out of all the forms of dhikr is to say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Nevertheless, we should make as much dhikr as we can all the time. Dhikr has many, many different forms. There, all the du'as that we read before eating, after eating, again, when we get up from our sleep, go to sleep, we should learn all of those du'as because they're all forms of dhikr that we can use throughout the entire day. There's a hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَقُولُوا مَجْنُونَ. Say, make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so abundantly that people start saying that this person is mad and this person is crazy. That's how much dhikr we should make. That's the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aisha radiallahu anha mentions about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith that كان يذكر الله على كل أحيانه. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always be making dhikr على كل أحيانه. All the time he would just be making dhikr. The second thing is وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Making tasbih. Now this could refer to our regular tasbih and dua, or it can also refer to making sure we're praying all of our salah throughout the entire day based on what the Mufassirun have mentioned. So these are the two things that we should keep in mind, that not only are things Allah is telling us to do right now to remove the darkness and bring us to light, but these are also the two things that saved all of the prophets and all of the pious people in the past. If you think about it, every prophet that was in any situation, they always made dhikr of Allah, they always made tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their situation changed. And during these last 10 nights, we're trapped in this pandemic, which may be an expression of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we really need to increase our dhikr and tasbih as much as we can. Moving on to the next surah, Surah Saba. The theme of this surah is regarding the objections of the disbelievers, and being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam were. Despite all of their gifts, they were always thankful to Allah. The word Saba refers to a town called Ma'arib. It refers to a town called Ma'arib, which was in modern-day Yemen. So it was around that area where Yemen is today. And Saba, known in English as the Sabians, is the title of the kings of that area. So all the kings of the area they're also known as Saba. So it might refer to that town or the kings of that area, whatever it may be. In this surah, it's referring to actually that town and that area. So I would like to actually get into their story so we can, because it really connects with our situation today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَعٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٍ. There's a sign for you in the people of Saba and what happened to them in their dwellings. So Allah Ta'ala tells us about the people of Saba and how they had two lush gardens growing alongside their city. There were two mountains right next to them. Water would run down from there. They had a dam and they would use that water for having huge lush gardens with all types of fruits and vegetables and other things, crops growing throughout the around all around their city. So they were very lucky to be in that area. They were also given very, very easy and central access to all of the major cities around them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala positioned them in a way where they had easy access to all the cities. Right now we have rest stops and rest areas. Back then they didn't. But luckily they would have to make camp. But luckily for them, all the cities that they wanted to go to, there were small cities between all of their destinations. So it was very easy for them. In the beginning, they would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be grateful for everything that they had. But when they started living comfortably for very, very long and they got too comfortable, they started delving into worldly desires, and they as a result, they became neglectful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them warnings through 13 different prophets, as mentioned by Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah. 13 prophets were sent to them to give them a warning. But they still did not listen, becoming arrogant due to their wealth and their comfortable lives. So eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the entire city. Many of them passed away, some of them fled that city and had to go elsewhere. And the person who was behind a lot of this is Shaitan. Shaitan was the one who put it in their hearts, and he told them that, look, you're so rich, you're living so comfortably, you don't need to worship Allah, or whatever you're doing is enough, don't worry about doing anything extra. وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ. The Shaitan convinced them that their mentality was correct. This is a very dangerous thing. Shaitan logically, rationally convinced those people, whatever type of life you're living, it's okay, it's good enough for Allah. So he didn't tell them worship Shaitan or worship idols, no. He told them the life you're living, worshiping Allah, is a good life. Whatever you're doing is okay. Don't worry about anything else. فَاتَّبَعُوهُ, and most of them followed him. إِلَّا فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, except some believers. Now why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do all this? وَمَا كَانَ لَوْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. That Shaitan actually had no power over them, because they were the ones that listened to Shaitan. It's not like Shaitan compelled them to do it. إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالْآخِرَةِ مِمَّنْ هُوَ مِنْهَا فِي شَكٍّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to find out through this entire thing, that after these people became so comfortable, which one of these people still believes in the Akhirah, and which one of them are now in doubt about the Akhirah because of their comfortable lives. If you believe in the Akhirah, then you will always be thankful to Allah. How? By making sure you're always following His commands. Not only the five pillars, but the commands to see what is halal, the command to only hear what is halal, to be only in gatherings that are halal, and to stay away from cursing, evil, lewd things, all of that. In a later ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. O people, the promise of Allah is truthful, and the Akhirah is coming. Don't let the worldly life deceive you, and don't let the deceiver deceive you. Referring to Shaytan. In the next ayah he says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوا عَدُوًا. Shaytan is your enemy, فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. So make him your enemy. Now here's the question for us. We've been living very, very comfortable lives like the people of Saba. The way prophets were sent to them to warn them that don't be neglectful of Allah, even though you're living comfortable lives, this pandemic has been sent to us. Are we going to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change our lives? Or are we going to continue living just for this world and only doing just the minimum for our deen, forgetting about the Akhirah? There's another ayah in connection to what was just said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ صُحِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. That on the day of judgment, the weak people and the people who they followed, as in referring to the people on the bottom and all the rich, famous people that people were trying to follow that led them into Jahannam, they're going to have a conversation with each other. And Allah ta'ala tells us that those that did not remember the Akhir and continue to follow their desires, on the day of judgment, they will see the people they used to look up to and those same people that landed them in Jahannam. They will tell them that if it wasn't for you, لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ, would have been believers and we would have been saved. And those people are going to respond to them and say, look, أَنَحْنُ صَلَدْنَاكُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ. We didn't stop you from being guided when it came to you. You yourselves are mujrimeen. You yourselves are held responsible. You're the criminals here. Why did you follow us in the first place? You saw us going away from Allah, but you looked up to us. You looked at us as role models. Your fault. So now once again, use this pandemic to reflect. Ask yourself, who am I following? Where am I going? And to make this question easier, let's go on to another ayah that is mentioned in Surah Fatir. And I'll explain what Surah Fatir is later. There's an ayah in Surah Fatir where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةَ فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. Ask yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, Whoever wants honor and izzah, then Allah is the one to whom all honor and izzah belongs to. So ask yourself this. Who are you thinking about when you are wondering about your izzah, your honor, and your dignity? Is it Allah or is it people? If you say Allah, then do you ever compromise on deen out of fear of losing credit, losing honor, and dignity amongst people that you know? What about amongst family members? Do you compromise on deen sometimes because of family members? Do you compromise because of masjid associates? Do you compromise because of colleagues? Do you compromise because of community members? Do you compromise because of family members? Do you compromise even because of the Muslim community and what they may say? If you ever lower your guard on deen for them, then your izzah lies with the people and it does not lie truly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is something that we all are deceived about. That we consider sometimes because of the izzah of people, we give ourselves logical reason. Oh, Rasulullah was so merciful. Rasulullah was so easy with the people. He would only choose what is easy. And we could deceive ourselves into doing things that Allah dislikes for the sake of the people thinking we're following Islam. This is keeping in mind that yes, acting on a lenient ruling is allowed at times, but acting upon something which is clearly haram or wrong in Islam for the sake of preserving your connections with people is not permitted. That is not what the Sahabas did. Just read about their lives in Mecca. Once again, we need to reflect over these things as of right now, because we're cutting off from gaining izzah from anyone else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we're stuck in this situation. All those contacts and community members and people we have, they're no longer there right now. Social distancing is there. We can right now gain izzah only from Allah. Make changes so we do not have to go back to compromising and seeking izzah from others. In this ayah, Allah places two requirements for gaining honor from Him. He says, number one, kalimu tayyib, tawheed. We have to say kalima la ilaha illallah. And the second requirement from gaining izzah from Allah is amalun salih, doing good deeds and acting on what is good. Of course, that includes on refraining from what is impermissible, even if it means losing honor in front of people. Now, this surah, Surah Fatir, it literally means the originator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the originator that originated everything. And this surah is also called Surah Malaika, because right in the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how He created the angels and He gave them wings. Then throughout this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the many, many different things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, how He created everything, all of the blessings He gave us, the sky, the earth, the ship in the sea, and that's something we could really talk about, especially nowadays, but there's no time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the final fate of the believers and the disbelievers. And I really wanted to take this time to mention the fate of the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one of these ayahs mentions, وَالَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا لَهُمْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمْ لَا يُخْضَى عَلَيْهِمْ فَيَمُوتُوا وَلَا يَخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِهَا. And I will end off with this. There are a few qualities that are mentioned about those people that are going to land themselves in Jahannam. And let this be something to inspire us right now to stay away from Jahannam. These last 10 nights are the nights when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees people from Jahannam. So we should look at what happens to the people of Jahannam so we have it in our heart that I do not want to be there at all. There are four qualities, four situations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about them. And they're quite scary. What is the first one that He mentioned? That لا يقضى عليهم فيموتوا. They will not be allowed to die. They will not be allowed to die no matter what. They'll call out and say that we want to pass away. They'll say, there's another surah. They'll call out to the leader of Jahannam, Malik. They're going to say, لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا. Tell Allah to just, that's it, take away our life, finish it. That's it, it's enough. But they will, لَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْهِمْ. They will, that cannot happen. They will not be allowed to die. Number two, وَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِهَا. Their punishment will never be lessened no matter what. No matter what. They'll feel all the punishment. Normally, when something happens to you bad in this world, or you get hurt, you know at least in the next few seconds that pain will go down at least just a bit. That's not what's going to happen in Jahannam. It will be continuous. It will never go down. لا يخفف عنهم من عذابها. Third thing, وهم يصطرخون فيها. They will be screaming at the top of their lungs out of pain. Out of the pain they'll be feeling in Jahannam, they'll be screaming at the top of their lungs. يصطرخون فيها. Then while they're in this pain, they're going to say something. And Allah Ta'ala will respond to them as well. And this is something I want all of us to really keep in mind. That way we never ever want to be amongst these people. In this situation, they will call out to Allah and they're going to say, رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ. Oh Allah, take us out from here and send us back to this world. نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ. We are going to do deeds and those deeds we didn't used to do before. Meaning, while we were in this world, we did bad deeds. While we were in this world, there were good deeds we could have done, but we left them. Let us go back, we'll do it now. We are going to do it now, just let us out. And they'll be saying this in pain. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to tell them? And take this ayah inside you and remember it right now, because we're still alive and we're still breathing. Allah will tell them, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell them that did I not give you a long enough life where if you wanted to remember me, you wanted to remember the akhirah, you could have remembered. You could have done it easily. وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. And to make it even easier, a warner was sent to you too. A prophet was sent to you too to tell you about everything. Now that time is up. فَذُوقُوا فَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ نَصِيرٍ. Now taste the punishment of Jahannam. Those who do sins and commit evil have no helper anymore. Many of us have been deluded into thinking that as long as I do the five pillars of Islam, I'm fully thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A quick look at the past nations, including the people of Sabah, who are technically believers. We'll see clearly that it was not only the worship of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. It was staying away from all haram things as well. This is the most difficult thing from people. They'll pray a lot of salah. They'll pray tahajjud. They'll read Quran. They'll have a tasbih in their hand 24/7 all the time. But they are not going to be staying away from haram and what is wrong. That's only half the job. That is only half the job. And if anything, that's almost a form of hypocrisy. It's like you're doing half the making people see on the outside they're good, but on the inside you're rotten. So it was staying away from all of the haram things as well that Allah wanted. So right now, it's time to change. We've already been given enough time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've already been given years and years and years in our life to change. If we don't change now, and look at our situation, if we don't change now, when we are in a pandemic, when we are in Ramadan, when we're seeing death all around us, when we're in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, if we don't change with all of these situations being aligned together in one shot, then I'm sorry, there's very, very, very little hope that we're ever going to change later. Because the only thing I can even imagine that will change someone after this situation is death itself. And na'udhu billah, if that's the situation, we will be the people that are going to be telling Allah in Jahannam, رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such an end. The next surah, Surah Yasin, inshallah, we did only one page of that. We'll discuss that tomorrow. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.